fishing bit, picking on that red guitar. So get around, now get around, chillin' get down. Well, just get down, chillin', get loud. Well, you can be loud, yeah, and be proud. And you can be proud, yeah, and I'll be proud. You will ever, cause South's gonna do it again and again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Coming up Monday on the program, forgot to tease this. Jennifer Fiddler will be with us, my state legislator from Silver Hill. She'll be with us. David Asbell, he's going to call about it. It's the 51st anniversary of the attempted assassination of George Wallace. And he's got an interesting column about that. We're going to talk about that. A friend of mine, I've never had him on radio, so it'll be a first, but he will be with us. And then Dale Jackson, some guy that has a radio show in North Alabama, I hear, will be with us. So please tune in on Monday. Joining us now, we do this every Friday about this time, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, on with us. Senator, good morning. How you been?
Man, I'm doing great. Great to be on with you. Sounds like a great lineup for Monday.
Yeah, well, except for one of them, but he'll go unmentioned. Let's start out here, Senator. You and I are talking off air. I mean, obviously the downstairs chamber is it's doing what I was inevitable. But you're starting to feel, it's getting the days are getting a little longer. People want to get their legislation through and then kind of get on back home. But starting to feel a little of the fatigue, I feel like, when I go to the state house.
Yeah, I mean, we've been going at it very hard for the last, the last couple of months here. And it is getting to the short time, if you will. I mean, I think we're definitely going to be out of session in the next, by this time next month for sure. So you see members starting to get a little squirrely about their particular piece of legislation and if it's moving or not and where it is in position and does it have time to get to the other chamber and what needs to happen there. So folks are concerned about that and get a little squirrely about that. But then others are looking also at what do I have left that I need to deal with. And sometimes folks have a lot of stuff they've got on their plate and sometimes they have very little. So you'll see that. And then, of course, the budgets are still out there maneuvering around, so the focus is on there. But it's a different tone, certainly, than the beginning.
Yeah, well, you guys get the general fund now, but not expecting any real problems with that in the Senate chamber, right?
Well, I think there is still some very significant conversation. You remember there were a number of projects that were in the budget, in the education budget, that are important, especially to our end of the world here, that came out of the education budget. And certainly the arguments have been made that those projects are still worth talking about. And while they weren't in the general fund budget in the House, maybe they need to be in the Senate. So I still think there's a fair amount of wrangling back and forth on these budgets. I would not say it's a done deal yet.
The other big ticket things, I mean, that they got to get done. They're not necessarily big, like landmark state changing things, but you look and you see some controversial bills that are still on the docket.
Yeah, and those typically get bunched up because they are what we call day killers, right? You put it on the agenda. And the whole day gets away from you because everybody wants to talk on it and you may get yourself in a filibuster situation and you may find yourself in a cloture situation. And leadership typically tries to bunch those together. That's not that they're bad bills. Oftentimes, for a Republican supermajority, they're priority bills. But we know our colleagues on the other side of the aisle are not going to be happy with them. We know our colleagues on the other side of the aisle are going to fight us on them, and we just have to make sure that we are cognizant of that and that we handle that as efficiently as possible. And so you'll see a number of those types of more controversial bills likely it jumbled up or bunched up on the same calendar or strategically placed when it is time to do them.
So this last week, I don't know if you're not really getting you started out kind of smooth sailing, 35-0, 35-0, 32-3, those sort of things. Is that there's still a number of things that you guys could get through like that, but those are becoming are fewer and further between at this point, it seems.
I think that's fair to say. I mean, we had an issue just the other day that dealt with road builder liability, and it was one of those things that was very controversial. Center's Coast Fields had that bill up numerous years before, and it's not made it out of committee. And you know, those are a good example of a bill that is a multi-year bill that needs to be worked on. Was worked on feverishly the entire session. Amendments, I won't call them amendments, changes were made kind of behind the scenes and working with both sides of the, you know, of the issue. And then it gets on the floor and it passes almost unanimously, you know. And everybody goes, well, that was easy. Well, it's not easy. It's very complicated, and it sometimes will take years to make something like that happen. But don't let a unanimous vote fool you. There's still issues like that that have to get worked out. They may be unanimous when they get on the floor, but it took a long time to get there. But your point's well taken. There's controversial bills that the Dems are going to be opposed to. Those are not going to be unanimous votes. There are going to be fights on the floor. And that's okay. That's part of what we do as well. And we'll do more of those coming up here soon.
Okay. Well, committee on Wednesday, ESG prohibition. And this was one that was on a lot of people's radar, Senator. But it got pulled a week earlier. Senator Gudger, the chairman of that economic development committee, but it seems like you came together and you got a bill through that committee on this ESG, at least restrictions when it comes to doing business with the state. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, listen, you know, this ESG issue is one that everybody is hearing about nationally, and it's something that we're dealing with here. We want businesses to be in business to make money, not to push some type of social agenda, and that is exactly what Alabama is leading on. Senator Roberts is the sponsor of that bill. He's done a fantastic job really negotiating the pitfalls there and getting that bill in committee, up in committee, and passed through committee. It is one of the widest, broadest ESG pieces of legislation in the country, and I think it's going to provide real protection to Alabama investors to make sure that we are our folks and our investments are focused on making money and not focused on promoting woke ideologies. And I commend Senator Roberts, Senator Gudger, the committee chairman on that, and others for working together, again, behind the scenes sometimes, to try to come to a good spot on that so that bill can move. And sometimes it's fair to say some compromise is necessary in order to move something. And the option is it becomes binary if you don't compromise, right? You may not get your bill passed. I still feel like Senator Roberts has ended up with a fantastic bill that is the broadest in the country to protect investors and protect retirements from woke ideologies. And I commend him for that.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion here on the program. Your Alabama High School Athletic Association package of bills. I think you and I were talking about this. Sometimes getting some of this stuff through is going to take years, but you got the ball rolling on it. What can you give us an update there on?
Wow, this is it certainly was a week that dealt with those, and it's been a number of weeks leading up to this, but it kind of came to a crescendo here with public hearings last week and public hearings this week dealing with the Alabama High School Athletic Association. I'm pretty pleased with how things ended up. We got their attention. They were there with lobbyists, you know, by the droves and public relations firms, you know, I mean, high-dollar folks trying everything they could do to keep these pieces of legislation from passing. And at the end of the committee hearing, when I was presenting the bills, I said, look, I don't want the Alabama legislature running high school athletics, but I do want y'all to look at your policies and the problems that are inherent in your policies and fix them. And so the Alabama High School Athletic Association has said they want to work with the legislature to understand what those problems are. Senator Chesteen, Representative Blackshear, and others, and I are going to get together with them over the next 6 months or so before we go back into session, because it's early session next time around, to work with them and see if they can change their policies on their own. That's what I want them to do. And with the pressure from the legislature, but change your policies on your own, and with us bringing some pressure to bear, so that kids can play sports, so that we don't have these disqualification issues, so that we don't have this game of gotcha where you're hiring private investigators to see where somebody's daddy's living and whether living and whether or not that impacts whether this little girl can play soccer or her entire team is disqualified. We've got to get away from some of this nonsense, and I feel comfortable we'll do that over this summer.
And then you got them talking and at least about it. Do you detect a change in tenor from those guys?
I detect the change in tenor that they know that the legislature is watching them and that they can make the changes that the people that we all represent are screaming for, or those changes can be made for them. And again, I would rather the Alabama legislature not be the one to make those changes, but I would much rather the Alabama High School Athletic Association do that through the process that they have, the rule making and rule changing process that they already have. But they know there's a spotlight on them. They felt it. As we talked about their issues, talked about circumstances, talked about, you know, superintendents of education saying that they didn't have the public trust, that they questioned the integrity of the association. All of that was out for everybody to see. Now it's time to work together to rebuild that trust, rebuild that integrity, and try to make sure we've got some rule changes to benefit Alabama children.
Senator, let's bring him back to Baldwin County and your former post there in the Baldwin County Commission. Emotions are running a little hot right now about a proposal you have to expand the Baldwin County Commission, and just kind of walk us through that and the process that involves.
Well, currently we have four members of the Baldwin County Commission, and having a deliberative body with only four people on it where you can end up in a tie vote situation on a regular basis is nonsensical. It's so nonsensical that it's the only county in the state that is set up like that. Now, when I was on the commission some 8 years ago, we argued for our legislature to change that. Previous county commissions before and after have asked for some changes to how the governance is made up, governance of the county commission is made up. So this is something we're trying to do. You know, again, sometimes you got to introduce a bill and get folks talking, and I've certainly done that. And we're going to continue to try to work on this legislation. I'm afraid that the current commission may have taken the filing of this bill as some sort of indictment on their leadership, and nothing could be further from the truth. This is instead a realization of the need for change in the type of governance well past when I'm gone and they are gone. It simply doesn't make sense to have four people on a commission. The system, the way it is set up, is really set up for failure, and unfortunately we've seen some symptoms of that. It has nothing to do with any of the current county commissioners, everything to do with how the system is set up and how this has been a request of commissions for as far back as I can remember.
Well, does it go before the entire body, or is it just a local delegation? What is the process?
Well, I have two bills filed right now, and that should underscore how determined I am on this particular issue. I have one that is advertising currently as a local bill and will be introduced so that the delegation can evaluate it. I also have a bill that is a general bill, frankly, with a local application that can go before the entire body, and I'll have that in my committee on Tuesday. I am convinced that we need to make this change. We have talked about it for a very long time, and we need to go ahead and get on with it. So I'm determined. Everyone should know that I'm determined to make this change. I've had numerous business folks, mayors, other countywide elected officials that are very intent on us making this change, and that's part of my job is to represent them, and that's what I'm doing by pushing this legislation.
Well, what is their objection to this? Is it just illusion of power? I know. I just it just seems like a logical thing to do.
Well, I would obviously agree with you, and I will tell you, I haven't heard a really coherent objection other than a formal resolution saying that they oppose it. So I don't know, and I don't want to put words in their mouth. Again, I'm afraid that the perception is, and I'm glad I've got the opportunity to say this, that the perception is that this is some sort of indictment on their leadership. It's not. It's rather a realization that this could run much more efficiently with a full-time non-rotating chairman and that can direct county employees and having a fifth commissioner that can break tie votes in the eventuality that that occurs.
And I guess the tiebreakers, I mean, we've seen in the past where there, you know, business has been stuck on the tie and I guess contracts and positions that went unoccupied or unfilled. It's just stuff like that, right? So that's why you need that tiebreaker.
That's correct. And this, and having a chairman that doesn't rotate every single year obviously provides some continuity as well. You know, this is not something new. When I look, for instance, at Madison County and how Dale Strong was in that spot as the chairman of the county commission for a long time, there was a continuity there. There was a leadership and vision that came along with that. And if you just look back at, you know, the number of commissioners we've had, the number of chairmen we've had, the number of top-level employees, even in the administrator spot, you know, the average lifespan of an administrator in that position is only 2 years, going back to the last 14 or so county administrators. So we clearly see the symptoms of this. And, yes, we've seen some symptoms of late with some staff that wasn't able to get contracts. Things just bogged down. And, again, that's a symptom of the system and how it's set up, not the current commissioners.
Senator, we're going to leave it there. We're out of time, but you've been very kind with your time, as you always are, and we will do this again next week.
Sounds great, Jeff. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. You do the same. State Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.